Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. Last week we looked at the ladies. The theme for the coming weeks and last week was be happy. And what we're learning is that God's way works. Okay? God provided us the instruction manual. So that we can have a life of joy, a life of satisfaction, a life that works. And when we decide... Hi, sweetie. Y'all forgive me. She was waving at me. She's my grandbaby. And I don't get that very often, so, you know. But last week in our pursuit of happiness in the marriage relationship, we talked to our ladies. This week, we're going to talk to our men. And we're going to be examining Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. Would you stand with me as we read from God's holy word? Verse 25. Husbands, love your wives as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water by the word. That he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh and blood, and of his bones. For this reason shall a man leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. For this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let his wife see that she respects her husband. Again, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for your word. And we thank you for bringing us to this point today in our study of your word. Lord, we know that your way works. And we know if we're to have a happy, loving marriage relationship, it's going to be because we put into practice the things that you give to us in your word. So, Lord, I pray that you'll give us receptive hearts, open minds to receive what you have prepared for us. Give us understanding into your word. Give us insight into your ways so that we may know you and live a life that will bring honor and glory to you. Lord, we do pray for those in this service who do not know you as their personal Savior. I pray, Lord, that today will be the day that they call upon you for salvation, that you'd touch their lives, that you'd remind them and show them how what they're doing on their own is not working. But a happy and joyful and satisfying life starts with a personal relationship with you. Lord, we pray that you'll bring them into that personal relationship today. We pray your will be done in every life for your honor and for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Now, we're all aware, men, what the Bible says about the husband. That the husband is to be the head of the home. I'm waiting for an amen. I'm still waiting. The husband is to be the head of the home. Amen. There we go. The Bible says, I mean, it's there. Okay? And I've seen men take that and swell up and say, that's right, I'm the head of the home, or I'm the king of my castle. Nah, you're missing it. You're missing it if that's your attitude. And I know sometimes we joke around. I'm not talking about when we joke around. I'm talking about, in all seriousness, how we view our position in the home. And what I want you to understand today is the responsibility that comes along with being the head of the home. Okay? Jesus didn't say, you're the boss.
boss everybody around. He didn't. He said, you're the head of the wife, the head of the family. And I want you to realize, my goodness, I'll just point out to you. Last week we talked about the women submitting to their husbands, right? Did you say there's 3 verses Paul dedicated to that? Do you see how many verses Paul dedicated to us men? Things like 8 here. Over twice as many. I think it's probably because we're a little hard-headed. What do you think? But I want you to get the responsibility. See, Matthew chapter 19, verse 5 says, and in this text it also says, a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Do you realize that was not given to the woman? That was given to the man. The one flesh, the joining together. Do you realize, gentlemen, this is our responsibility? The closeness, the relationship, the one flesh. In this text we read, love your wife as Christ loved the church. My goodness, how big is that? 1 Peter 3:7. Husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding. You got that one, right? You got to know them. It's your responsibility to know them. To know what they need, what they like, what they don't like. To know them and to provide for them. Dwell with them according to understanding, giving honor. You know what that word honor is? It's value. Not only do you know her, you're supposed to value your wife. Or treasure your wife as the weaker vessel. As being heirs together, the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Guys, I want you to understand. Often we look at being the head as being the boss, and we don't take the responsibility along with it. Okay? Being the head is a position of responsibility. Okay? First responsibility that you have is to stand out in your love for your wife. Now, do you realize love is an emotion? Right? Love is it is an emotion. It's something you feel on the inside. It's something that draws you to your wife. But I want to point out something to you today. Emotion is the most shallow part of who you are. And the reason I say that, emotion is good. However, the danger of emotion is emotions fluctuate according to circumstances and emotions fade. For example, when you get a new car, you're excited, right? Come on, go with me. Come on. You're excited when you get a new car, right? Amen. I mean, whoa, look what I've got. But 2 months after you get that new car, you're not nearly as excited as you were when you got that new car, right? Just kind of the new wears off. Well, you were acting on emotion when you got that new car. When you met your wife, I dare say you were excited. This is where you say amen, men. I'm having to pull teeth today. And I don't know. I dare say you were excited.
Amen.
There you go. I dare say that there was a draw and your goal was to impress that lady. Yeah. There we go. Now we're getting it. Your goal was to win her heart. But then you married her. What happened? You won. We did our victory dance and go on, right? It's really easy if you're acting only on emotion to let that fade over time and to not treat her with the same honor, with the same value, with the same passion that you treated her when you first started dating, you know, and when you first got married. That's why as God explains it here. He doesn't leave it in the emotion category. He says love is an action. Or better yet, maybe we could say love is a choice. It is a will. Jesus didn't just say love those who you're drawn to. Love the pretty ladies. Or he said love your neighbor as yourself. Now that has very little to do with emotion. Okay? And more to do with a self-determination and a will. He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. That has to do with will and choice. He said, love one another. It has to do with will and choice. Especially, sometimes one another becomes very difficult to love. Amen? Yeah? We've got to get it off that emotional level and put it down to that realization where I realize the way I love my wife is a choice. I'm not saying let the emotion completely go. No. But I'm saying pick up on the action side. Why? Because you've got to prove it. Yes, gentlemen, we are still to prove our love for our dear wife. This is you, ladies. There we go. Okay. We are still to prove to them how valuable and how precious that they are to us. Why? Why? Well, the example that Paul writes about is the example of Christ's love for His church. And you know what? Jesus never said, I love you. And stopped. Oh, He said, I loved you. But He never stopped with saying it. Instead, we have such scripture as Romans 5:8. But God demonstrates, that word demonstrates means to prove. God proves His own love toward us. How? In that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You see? Jesus didn't just say, I love you. He said, I loved you. And He backed it up upon the cross of Calvary. John 3:16, same concept. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. God said, I love you. And He backed it up by giving His Son as proof. And I'll be honest with you. Gentlemen, our ladies, our wives should settle for nothing less than us daily showing them the evidence of our love. It shouldn't. Girls, young ladies, before you marry, I want you to understand this. You should never settle for anything less than some gentleman that knows how to be a gentleman and demonstrate his love for you on a daily basis. Okay? Don't think you can change that young man. If he's a rascal before you married him, he'll be a rascal after you marry him. Okay? Do not settle, young ladies. Men, let us not be lax in just saying I love you. Let us show it. Why? Because that's the kind of love that Jesus had for His church. And that's the pattern that Paul sets forth. If you're going to have a happy marriage, this is the kind of love you're going to have to show your wife on a daily basis. Love not only stands out or proves itself, love sacrifices. See, here's where we men just quite honestly do really poorly. If there's a sacrifice to be made, it's usually the woman who makes it. I'm just being honest. Or maybe I'm being honest with myself. Beth is way more sacrificial than I am. But the reality is, love is about giving. Sacrificing. Okay? Giving of yourself. See, that's what Jesus did. In the scripture that we read a while ago, Jesus gave Himself. In the text, Jesus gave Himself. And that word gave literally means to give up. Now men, get this. If you're going to love your wife like Christ loved the church, you're going to have to give up yourself. What is he getting at? Literally, self has got to go. Self has got to go. You know what? And I made this comment last week, but I'm going to make it again. One of the greatest damaging things of a marriage is selfishness. I want, I expect, I will not put up with. You see, you got to get rid of the I, guys. We've got to get rid of the quality of your love has to be such that your wife knows that she reigns supremely in your life and in your heart, second only to God Himself. Okay? Boy, what a big command. That's right. Marriage is a big deal. 1 Corinthians. Let's talk about what love looks like. 1 Corinthians 13:4. One of my favorite verses to use at a wedding. Love suffers long. You know what that means? Guys, that means you don't have to be happy all the time. It really does. You don't like it? You know, your wife is doing something that irritates you. Bottom line is, too bad, get over it, suffer long, okay? Deal with it and go on. And you know, we laugh about that, but it amazes me sometimes in counseling how petty that people can be. Little old thing, well, she does it clean house. Well, then you clean it. Get over it. You know? Well, she doesn't cook my supper. Well, you cook your supper. Get over it. Go on. You married her. Okay? I can say the same thing about the women too, though, right? He just comes in and plops down on the couch. Be thankful you got a couch for him to plop down on. You know, you see, we don't have the concept of love. Where self is gone and love, in spite of the little things that may get on one another's nerves, love says, okay, I don't like that, but I'm going to love you anyway. I'm not going to sit there and harp on it. I'm not going to drag you through the mud about it. I'm just going to love you anyway. Why? Because love suffers long. You see, you got to look at how Christ loves us. On a daily basis, I am amazed at the love of Christ. How about y'all? When I think of the failure after failure after failure, the long suffering, the patience of our great God, I'm reminded, oh Lord, what a wonderful God you are. That's the kind of love, gentlemen, you're shooting for. We're shooting for it. And boy, I'll be honest with you, as I was preparing for this marriage, this message, the more I prepared, the smaller I felt. Because I know how short I come. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself and is not puffed up. Oh, pride's another destructive thing for a marriage. It's not about pride. Listen, pride goes out the window when you get married. Okay? If people will quit thinking of themselves and start thinking of their spouse before they think of themselves, a lot of marriages will go a lot smoother. Okay? Get the pride and self out of the way. Verse 5, does not behave rudely. Did you have a good day at work? I don't want to talk about it. There you go. Does not seek its own. There it is. Selfishness is gone. Is not provoked. Thinks no evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things. Believes all things. Hopes all things. Endures all things. And I just remind you, marriage has its ups and downs. Okay? There are good times and bad. There are sometimes that you're so irritated, you think, I just don't know why I do this. Well, you do it because you made a commitment long ago that you would love her, and women, that you would love him for the rest of your life. That's a commitment before God. Okay? And endures all things. Love never fails. In weddings, you'll hear me make this statement. In almost every wedding that I preach.
Love never fails. People fail to love. And that's what happens to marriages. Okay? Guys, it is our job. It is our God-given responsibility to love our wives with a love that is just cannot be touched by anything else. Let me tell you something. Look at that woman. Look at her. She married you. And let's face it. Everybody I know around here married up. With the guys, speaking of the guys, myself included. Treat her like you married up. Honor her. Give up yourself. Be willing to sacrifice your wants, your desires for hers. Not only does love sacrifice, love sanctifies. That word sanctify means to set apart. To set apart. It means to separate something from the everyday mundane secular to the use or for the use of a holy or sacred purpose. That's what it says that Christ did for His church. And I want to tell you, in the eyes of Christ, there is no organization on this earth more treasured than His church. Okay? I mean, He calls the church His bride. And He does it very affectionately, I might add. Everything that Jesus has done for His church has been for His church's good. He loved her, a love that cleansed her. That word cleanses in the text is talking about making her ceremonially acceptable. A love that presents her to Himself, dedicates her to Jesus. A love that brings her to the point where she's without fault or without blemish. That's the kind of love that Christ has for His church. But I like the without fault and without blemish part most especially. Because as I look among the church, our church, other churches, let's face it, my friends, we're not without blemish, are we? But you know what? The good part is that the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all unrighteousness. And we're not who we are because of us. We're who we are through the blood of Jesus Christ who died for us. And it's His sacrifice that's His righteousness that's placed upon us. You see, everything about Jesus was about taking care of and providing for His church. Seeing the spots. Let's talk about our relationship with our wives for just a moment. Gentlemen, what do you see when you look at your wife? Is your wife better because she's married to you? I'm going to pause right there and let you think about that in just a minute, okay? Is your wife better because she's married to you? If not, you are failing your responsibilities as a husband. Okay? Too many times I've been sitting in counseling sessions. As husbands go down the list of what's wrong with their wives. Sometimes I do. I just really want to say, wake up. Don't you realize how blessed you are? That God has given you a companion to spend this life with. Guys, do you realize that blessing? I want to tell you. I think I made this comment last week, but I'm going to make it again. We're not there yet, but I'm looking forward to growing old with my wife. You know? We're not old yet. We got a little ways down the road before we get old. But I'm looking forward every step of the way. You know? It's good instead of trying to tear down the marriage and living in that environment of me, 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 and all these things are wrong with you. We need to have that environment or promote that attitude of, darling, what can I do for you for your good? How can I treasure you today? I think the last time I preached from here, I talked about guys opening car doors. Do we do that? I don't. Every once in a while I'll think of it. And the reason is because I forget it. Okay? It's not because I don't want to, but I'll forget it. And the reason I forget it is because I just get so used to living from day to day to day to day to day to day. And so used to having my dear wife around, and she's there today and she's there tomorrow, and you know, I expect her to be there next week, and it's just too easy not to treasure her. And now, I'll be quite honest with you, when I do open a door, Beth goes, "What are you doing?" Confession time. I'm just saying. But guys, I am saying we need to do a better job in treasuring the women that God has placed in our lives. Holding them up, setting them apart, keeping them away. And you know, we talked about sanctify. That's setting something apart from the everyday mundane to a holy purpose. I want to tell you, you need to set apart your wife. Never treat her as mundane. Every day. And we're all guilty. We all do it. Amen, guys? If you're a husband, I mean, it's just too easy. But today, let this stand as a reminder to all of us. Let's set them up. As the sacred vessels of God they are. These are the women who are giving birth to our children. This is the lady. I mean, I'm telling you, if it weren't for Beth, I wouldn't have that sweet little grandbaby over there. I wouldn't have my three sweet children. I wouldn't have a life that's satisfying. You see, love satisfies. We'll look back at verse 28 again. It says, so husbands ought. Pay close attention to that ought, because it depends upon you. Husbands ought to love their wives. Oh, wait a minute. Let me back up, because I did say this about the ladies last week. Husbands ought to love their own wives. That word own, remember? We started out when it says, wives, submit to your own husbands. And I said, that word is a word of possession, meaning you own him. Guess what, guys? Here we go. We own them too. You see, that's what we need to live like in marriage. We need to live like we're owned by our spouse. That we're there for their good, not for our selfish desires and wants. So verse 28, so husbands ought. It's up to you guys. You can do it God's way, or you can do it the hard way. The hard way doesn't ever work out. We ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes just as the Lord does the church. There you go. You want to treat your wife like she should be treated? Nourish her. Cherish her. Make her the priority of your life. Okay? Grab this. Your wife, gentlemen, is the priority of your life. Amen. Amen. That means she's first. In front of the kids. And by the way, gentlemen, do not let your kids disrespect your wife. You be a man. And if you need be, you step in and say, you will not talk to my wife that way. Okay? You put your foot down. You be a man, and you make her the priority in your home, guys. Nourish her. That means it's talking about provide, protect, and take care of. And cherish her. That word cherish is tenderly care for her. Oh, you just treat her like the sacred treasure that she is. She's got to see her importance in your life. And then, there has to be a continuing unity. My friends, Ephesians 5:31 says, for this reason a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. And I said in the beginning, this is the man's responsibility, and it is. But I'm thoroughly convinced today that we've come to the point in our history where people don't get this. They don't get that marriage is a once in a lifetime thing. It is between one man and one woman and one lifetime. And when you start living on that selfish, I want, I expect, and you know, that me side, you're not one flesh. I've come to realize at this point in my life, you know, you've heard people say, if mama's not happy, nobody's happy. Well, I'll tell you, it goes deeper than some cute little saying. If Beth is not well, I'm not well. Bottom line. Why? Because she is such an intricate part of me. Without Beth in my life, and I'm not sucking up and trying to be so sweet, but I'm telling you the truth. Without Beth in my life, you might as well take my right arm and my right leg. Okay? Because there's a part of me that would be missing that I could not recover from. Gentlemen, with your wife, that's the oneness that is supposed to be there. I'll be honest, you know, sometimes Beth will go somewhere and stay overnight and visit her parents or do something. I don't like it. And it's not because I don't like her being with her sister. I don't like it because there's a part of me missing. I'll do the same thing. I'll go somewhere and I'll go because, you know, I need to go. But I don't like it. Why? Because there's a part of me missing. That's what it's talking about. Becoming one flesh. And men, the responsibility of this one flesh lies in greater level with you than it does her. I'll tell you, you don't have to teach a lady how to love. I mean, you just watch. They know how. You got to teach men how to love. Yeah? Because most of the time we don't get it. We really don't. But here's what I want you to get, guys. That's the way God meant it to be. And anything less, you're missing the boat. Now, I'm not saying, oh, you do this and there'll never be any difficulty and she'll fall all over your arms and everything will be wonderful every day. No, you're still married, okay? There's still going to be ups and downs. But I do know this. God's way works when you get self out of the way and you start treating your wife like the queen that she should be treated. You may be here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. My friends, you can't build a family until you build a spiritual life. You see, you've got to have a foundation to build on. That foundation is Jesus Christ. No other foundation can any man lay except that which is laying, which is Jesus. You want to see love? You experience the love of Jesus. You realize that Jesus proved His life for you, or proved His love for you by giving His life upon the cross of Calvary. Okay? He died so that you could have eternal life. Are you a child of God? If not, this invitation is for you. We're going to invite you to come forward and to call upon Jesus Christ as your Savior. Maybe you're here today and you know you're saved, but you've never went public by following the Lord's scriptural baptism. So friends, we need to take care of that. There is no secret service with Jesus. Okay? You need to take your public stand. You come forward in this invitation and we'll get that baptism scheduled. Then the third one. Okay? Are you building your life on the principles of the Word of God as put out in the Word of God? Are you building your marriage on such a high level of love? If not, folks, the world's way is not going to work. Has to be God's way for you to have true joy and satisfaction. Whatever your spiritual need is, I'm going to invite you. Will you come forward in this invitation and make the commitment that God leads you to make? Heavenly Father, we thank You. We thank You, Lord, for Your great love and the example of Your great love through Jesus Christ, Your Son. Oh, we thank You for the sacrifice that was made on our behalf. We thank You, Lord, for the example that we have. And Lord, we're sorry. Because we fail so tragically to love with such love. Father, help us. Help us as men to be men and to love our wives with the love that You have shown. And now as we come to this invitation, I pray that Your will be done. Give us willing hearts to respond for Your honor and for Your glory. In Jesus' name.